The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. Welcome into First Take on a Tuesday. Max Kellerman is off today. Kendrick Perkins is with us. Great to have you, Kendrick. Of course, Stephen A. Smith, and I'm Molly Karam-Rose. Gentlemen, we begin on a serious note, the events that took place in Minnesota, and that's where we will start. So the Twins, Timberwolves, and Wild all postponed games on Monday following the police shooting of 20-year-old Dante Wright, who was killed during a traffic stop in the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center Sunday night. While attempting to arrest Wright on an outstanding warrant, a struggle ensued, and police say an officer intending to fire a stun gun accidentally fired a handgun instead. Wright's death has led to two nights of protests with officers in riot gear clashing with demonstrators. Yesterday, the Twins decided to cancel their afternoon game with the Red Sox after consulting with Major League Baseball. Both teams had taken the field to warm up, and the national anthem was played before fans were told the game was off. A few hours later, the Timberwolves and Wild called their games. NBA coaches Doc Rivers and Greg Popovich expressed their frustrations last night.
I just know the frustration is a real thing for everybody and for us. And, you know, you keep hearing this cancel culture stuff, but, you know, we're canceling Black lives. And I think, to me, that's a little, you know, more important, in my opinion. And we just, it just keeps happening. We keep making mistakes on killing Black people.
It just makes you sick to your stomach. You know, it's, how many times does it have to happen? And, you know, it's sick to our stomachs as we might feel, that individual's dead. He's dead. And his family's grieving and his friends are grieving. And we just keep moving on as if nothing's happening.
Stephen A., what's your reaction to how the teams are handling this?
Well, my first reaction is that they did the right thing. Obviously, it's one of those situations where you just didn't want to play. You certainly can understand why they made that decision. We completely support the Twins, the Timberwolves, the Wild. They all made the right decisions. They didn't just make it as a team. They also made it as a league. They consulted with state and local officials before making this decision as well. Obviously, the governor had issued, a curfew in the city because the trial of police officer Derek Chauvin, who killed George Floyd, is going on right down the block, for crying out loud, just a few blocks away from the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And so you have that going on. We all know what happened there. We all know that it was less than a year ago it transpired. And we certainly support, appreciate the leagues taking the position that they took, because there was no other position to take. When something this heinous happens, you have to, you definitely want to take a stand, and you want to make sure that you prioritize certain things over games being played. And this was one of those moments that clearly called for that. Having said all of that, let me say this. I don't speak everybody, you know, Black folks are not one monolithic group. And just because one Black person feels that way or a litany of Black folks feel a way doesn't mean every Black person feels this way. But I am pretty sure that when I say what I'm about to say, I can't imagine there's a Black person alive in the United States of America who would disagree with what I'm about to say. You know, here we are. We find ourselves in a situation where because of a traffic stop, you know, some taillight hanging from the mirror or, you know, an expired license or whatever the case may be, we see a 20-year-old Black man dead. I would remind everybody that a non-Black person shot and killed 10 people in Colorado. They were arrested. An individual by the name of Dylan Roof, who happens to be white, walked into a church in South Carolina and killed 9 people while they were in church praying. There was a manhunt for him. He was arrested. He was not shot. And on top of it all, they stopped him at Burger King, if I remember correctly, because he was hungry as they were returning him to the precinct. We've seen this kind of situations before. And what black folks are incredulous in asking, first of all, you know, obviously the death of unarmed black individuals, which is something that we've articulated on many occasions in the past, is something that is incredibly serious and alarming and resonates in our community. We all know that. But in the same breath, we've seen situations where individuals were actually shooting at police officers and ended up getting arrested, who did not happen to be black. But somehow, some way, black folks are ending up dead. That's the seriousness of the situation. And so for me, when I look at it from that perspective, and then I get into the particulars of this particular situation in regards to this latest shooting involving Dante Wright. So let me get this straight. An officer of 26 years who heads the police union in Minneapolis, from my understanding, doesn't know the difference between a handgun and a taser? Are we serious? Now, we have to, in the interest of fairness, we have to say, okay, it could have been a mistake. There's no one black with sense that would believe that. We've heard the excuse before. We've heard the rationale exercise before. I think in the last 2 years, there's been at least three or four occasions where police officers have claimed in different parts of this nation that they thought it was a taser that they were shooting and it was their gun. You shouldn't be on a damn police force if that's the case. But my biggest question is, 26 years as a police officer, heading the local union for the police officers, and you don't know the difference between a taser and a gun, are we really supposed to believe that? Do you really think the people out there protesting believe that? Do you think that people in the streets of America, as stuff continues to percolate, are going to believe that? That's where we are. And so because of it, again, the Twins, the Timberwolves, the Wild absolutely made the right decision. Major League Baseball, the NBA, the National Hockey League absolutely made the right decision. State and local officials absolutely made the right decision. But it brings me back to what I said on many occasions in terms of really aiming our energy at legislation and influencing legislation. I'm thinking about in terms of, you know, some of these police officers and their pensions being severely compromised. I think about things like that. I think about, nationalizing law enforcement laws so we can have a watchdog really honing in. I don't know how that would differ from the FBI, but I think it's something that's worth discussing and mentioning. But in the end, what it comes down to is that here we are again, another black person dead, completely and utterly unnecessary. Somehow, some way, law enforcement officials, trained law enforcement officials, at the very least, made a mistake that was fatal for someone else instead of themselves, and for someone else who happens to be black instead of themselves. And that in and of itself is a crime that needs to be addressed, quite honestly.
Well, Stephen, I tell you what, man, I agree with you 100%, and you're 100% right about everything. And I want to start off by, one, giving appreciation to the young players and the players around all leagues, right? The Hockey League, the National Baseball League, National Football League, the WNBA, who stood on the front line before anybody, and then my brothers in the NBA. When you look at the brothers in particular, because this is where I come from, when you look at what they've done as young leaders, the Kyrie Irvings, Jaylen Browns, Malcolm Brogdon's, these are young leaders in the world that holds their ownership groups accountable. And I think that plays a huge part. It was a couple months ago where Mark Cuban ruffled the feathers a little bit for us when you start talking about the national anthem. And people was just like, what's going on with Mark Cuban? What is he doing, man? He really dropped the ball. No, he didn't drop the ball. What he was doing at the time was he was playing chess while everybody else was playing checkers. And he was saying, you know what? The NBA season has started, and I feel like we're starting to back off on a real issue at hand as far as in social justice and police brutality towards African Americans. And I'm going to support my players. And if I got to bring it back to the forefront and bring it back to the light in the face of the NBA and my fellow ownerships, I'm going to do that. And he did just that. And I want to appreciate him. Now, getting to the Minnesota situation, I have multiple problems with this. One, another unarmed black man being killed, right, in Minnesota, like you said, while a trial is going on for a similar situation, and our brother George Floyd, who was also murdered. And you go back to 2016, when a guy by the name of Philando Castile was murdered in a traffic stop, right? The state of Minnesota invested $12 million into police training. And since then, in this past year, we have talked about the murder of George Floyd. And now here we are today talking about the murder of Dante Wright. And it's just sickening. And I don't know what else to say. We're protesting. People are doing everything in their power to try to have change. And it just, to me, it's just almost like it's a trial in the same city, same state, and we have another murder. It's like the police don't care, or they know that the accountability is not going to be there, and they're too comfortable. So well, you're right. We do have to set in some type of law where they have to have the police on the police. We have to be able to call the police on the police, because from the looks of it, it's not going to stop. And I just want to know, where did the $12 million go? But it, because it couldn't have went into police training. It couldn't have.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up. And I wanted to take a moment. You know, you brought up Kyrie Irving. Let's bring them all up, because obviously, you know, hosting a debate show, co-hosting a debate show, and, you know, getting in and out of different issues or whatever. When we're talking and we're critical of anybody, from a LeBron James to a Russell Westbrook to a Kyrie Irving, the Kevin Durants of the world, and various others, we just talking games. We just talking games. As it pertains to real life issues, I could not applaud those brothers enough. And I'm appreciative that you brought up Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving has been pounding that pavement for a long time about bringing attention to these issues and about how things are much, much bigger than basketball. And this is one of those days where obviously this is bigger than sports. This is about real life issues. And we have to show appreciation for Doc Rivers. We have to show appreciation for Greg Popovich, the Stan Van Gundys of the world, and various others who've worked diligently and spoken out over the years to bring attention to these issues. And so we have to be incredibly grateful to them for bringing a voice on behalf of the voiceless out there, and some people who just may not get it, who just may not understand. I want to say that. That's number one. Number two, you know, it's real interesting as we sit here, because I'm also told that this police officer was of 26 years who couldn't apparently tell the difference between a taser and her gun. And by the way, there was an officer that was struggling to put on the handcuffs as he was being cooperative initially. Anyway, there was an officer that was struggling to put on the handcuffs. Yet two more officers showed up to the scene and what have you. And she was actually behind one of the officers when she shot Dante Wright. So of 26 years, can't tell the difference between a taser and a gun. She actually supposedly was training another officer. So let's take that into consideration. And again, let me go back to my original point, because when you have folks out there talking about Black Lives Matter, one could argue they could have said Black Lives Matter too, or whatever, because you're certainly not trying to indicate that other lives don't matter. What you're trying to do is highlight and illuminate the fact that Black lives don't matter nearly as much as it should to law enforcement officials and beyond. And so you don't want to castigate all law enforcement officials. The actions of a few shouldn't taint the many, some people would say. But that's pretty difficult to absorb when the deaths that are occurring in your own community. And so at some point in time, somebody's got to do something. And the reality of the situation is that you look at law enforcement officials and it just appears to be an innate fear, which brings us to the demonization of black men and black women in this country. Apparently being black scares the living hell out of people who ain't black in far more instances than they're willing to admit until something fatal happens. And then we find ourselves questioning why these kind of things happen. And so, again, we've got to pay attention to it all, not just law enforcement officers, but legislation. And we also have to pay attention to how black folks are projected and demonized in this nation, because apparently it's having a detrimental effect on us because it's affecting other people and how they look at us and how they think about us and ultimately how they react towards us. We need to pay attention to it.
Yeah, I'll wrap this up again by saying the facts. He's 20 years old, a father, unarmed, killed by police, left on the street. It's inhumane. It's entirely preventable. And there needs to be accountability. And as somebody who's not black, and many of the people that I love are black, I promise you, if I was in Minnesota right now, I would be out there protesting. It's absolutely unacceptable, egregious, and continues to happen. And we're talking for 400 years, and nothing is changing.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Steph Curry cooking, reaching another milestone, passing Wilt Chamberlain as the Warriors' all-time scorer, passing Wilt's previous mark of 17,783 points with a second-quarter drive against the Nuggets. He finished with 53 on the night. Take a look at the journey of both players and their record-setting scoring numbers. We'll get that graphic for you. Steph dominant in a three-point shooting, while Wilt was dominant, of course, in scoring average. Stephen A., kind of a tough question here for you, but who do you think will have a bigger impact on the game when it's all said and done? Is it Steph or Wilt?
To me, believe it or not, I think it's going to be Steph Curry. I think Wilt Chamberlain already had his impact. There were five rules changes that took place with Wilt Chamberlain. I wrote them down to have him in front of me. Offensive goaltending, defensive goaltending, size of the lane, the paint area, free throw shooting, and inbounding the ball. And some people would ask the question, just to give an education, what do you mean free throw shooting? Well, Wilt Chamberlain, being about 7 feet one, understand what Wilt Chamberlain would do. Wilt Chamberlain, in order to shoot a free throw, would leap from the free throw line and dunk the ball before his foot ever touched the lane. So because of that, they had to make it so you couldn't extend beyond the free throw line under any circumstances until the ball actually touched the rim. That's how that rule was changed. To see guys shoot free throws now, Wilt Chamberlain wouldn't shoot free throws. He would just leap from the free throw line and dunk it from there. And they had to change that rule. So we recognize the impact, but what people may not recognize as it pertains to widening the lane and things of that nature, there were rules that actually took place in terms of rules changes when George Mikan was playing in the early 1950s. So Wilt Chamberlain, even though rules were changed because of him, his size, his length, his dominance because of it. There were rules changes for George Mikan that were instituted because of George Mikan as well. So the size factor played the role. With Steph Curry, that's not the issue. With Steph Curry, it's simply the fact that he's a marksman. I'm going to say what I've said on many occasions. Steph Curry is the greatest shooter God ever created. Period. There has never been a shooter in the history of the sport created by James Naismith that has been better than Steph Curry. And I don't give a damn what anybody says. You have better set, and listen to what I'm saying here. You have better set shooters, better spot up shooters, okay? You have somebody that could shoot better from a contested point of view at times. No one can do it all from long range the way Steph Curry does. Left side, right side, top of the key, 10, 20, 30, 40, sometimes 50 feet away from the basket. Off the dribble, standing still, jumping a little bit, set shot, contested, uncontested. It doesn't matter. This dude is the all-time greatest sniper, and he's transformed the game in such a way where you look at, remember, before Michael Jordan, there was Dr. J. Julius Erving. Before him, it was Connie Hawkins, the David Thompsons of the world, people like that. It was Vince Carter and Kobe and others thereafter. But when you look at Jordan and what he had taken the game to, you had people thinking that the key to success with your athleticism, coupled with some decent size, 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", etc. In the case of Steph Curry, 6'3 guard, 170 plus pounds, pulling up from the parking lot. That's who this dude is. And when you look at that and the fact that it's got people now in the park shooting jump shots all the time, you don't have to be 7'1". You could be 6'1". You could be 6'2", 6'3". And as long as you got marksmanship, you can dream of being Steph Curry. It's special.
It's very special. And Stephen A., I'm going to tell you the definition of what you just said. He defines the name generational talent, okay? Because that's exactly what he is. And look, I know the Warriors fans, they give me a lot of hate. They give me a lot of nonsense on a day-to-day basis, say that I'm a Steph Curry fan. Well, they're going to love me today because guess what? When it's all said and done, when Steph Curry retired, somebody on this top 10 all-time great list is going to have to move out the way because when this brother retired, he's going to be a top 10 player of all time. Steph Curry changed the game. Yes, we already know he's the greatest shooter of all time, but we don't give him enough credit for just being one of the greatest scorers of all time. The way that he's able to finish in the paint without having that elite athleticism or a little bit of athleticism at all, finishing with nice floaters below the basket, you know, up and unders, having the jelly, the sauce is what they call it. I mean, this guy is phenomenal to watch. I call him the light-skinned brother with the green eyes because, you know, as a dark-skinned brother growing up, we all wanted to be light-skinned and had the green eyes because, hey, you know, he was attracting more women. But this kid is special. He's going to be top 10 greatest of all time. He gave hope. I coach my son's AAU team, and I'm watching guards nowadays that are small guards that are tearing the game up because Steph Curry made it okay for them to shoot shots, take long three-pointers, pull up from the logo, and actually make them. So he gave hope, and he inspired guys like Trae Young, all right, that I feel like is a similar version, a lesser version than Steph Curry. Okay, so when I look at Steph Curry, I'm giving him his flowers today. And I'm saying, when it's all said and done, when he retires, somebody's going to have to move out the way because he will be a top 10 great of all time.
Let me say something and let me throw some basketball knowledge down on people, even though this may occur blasphemous. And I want to say this with you on the air, Kendrick Perkins, because I want your response. When we talk about Magic Johnson, he was bigger, he was stronger, he was more durable. And there isn't a better passer in the history of basketball as far as I'm concerned. So when we think about the quintessential point guard and what a point guard is supposed to be, we understand that Magic Johnson is just in a class of his own, and he's elite and special and a five-time champion. All of these things are true. But when we talk about basketball from a point guard perspective, can we really definitively say there's somebody that we'd want at that position more than Steph Curry? If you think about his ability to shoot the ball, forcing a defense to come out and extend to guard him, you combine that with his movement without the basketball and what kind of distraction that causes for opposing defenses. Imagine Kendrick Perkins if Steph Curry was a point guard and his off guard was Michael Jordan. And keep Klay. Keep Klay as your small forward. I don't even need Larry Bird. I can keep Klay Thompson, okay? So I got Klay, and I got Michael Jordan. I'll let Klay play the three while Michael Jordan play the two, okay? Or you could put Kobe there, God rest his soul. The list goes on. When you have a point guard that has that kind of range, ball handling ability, basketball IQ, and movement without the basketball, as great as Magic Johnson and phenomenal as he is, as a five-time champion and the ultimate leader, I don't know if anyone can say that there is a point guard you would definitively prefer over Steph Curry, considering what Steph Curry can do and what damage he can cause to an opposing defense. To that you say what, Kendrick Perkins?
I say it's hard to argue, but I will toss out one name out there, and that's the great Isaiah Thomas, okay?
Sure.
Because he was a killer. I will say
Michael
that.
Jordan has him, too. Michael Jordan has Magic 1, Isaiah 2. But that was just me and MJ talking a couple of years ago or so. But that's what he had. He had Magic 1, Isaiah 2.
But Stephen A., you bring up a great point, because I want to tell you, even in my playing days, right, which was not long ago, to me, the top two point guards at that time in the league that was taking over the league was Chris Paul, right, and Rajon Rondo, the ultimate floor generals. That's what point guards were before Steph Curry came into the game. They were guys who were supposed to be able to get others involved, see the floor, have court vision. That was the definition of a point guard, right? To get others involved, be able to make passes on time, on target, run the team, et cetera, et cetera. Here's what Steph did. He changed the definition of point guard. Now point guards are not looked at as being players to be able to facilitate for others. When you look at around the league, teams are drafting point guards that could score the basketball. That's how much the game has changed since Steph Curry stepped foot into the NBA. So with that being said, I agree with you. It's Magic Johnson. You have Isaiah Thomas right there. And then it's Steph Curry. Period.
Mm-hmm. Guys, put all the personal accolades aside, though. How excited are you to see Klay Thompson and Steph back on the court together? Hopefully, Klay shooting for the start of next season. They are going to take the league storm, those two. Oh, my goodness. After the past two seasons, we know it's been very challenging for him. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. To the NFL we go. Here's a look at Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest NFL mock draft 4.0 hot off the presses. He had some more trade movement, including the 49ers moving up to number 3 to take Alabama quarterback Mac Jones. Another notable move is the Patriots trading up to the 10th pick to draft Justin Fields from Ohio State. There will not be Julian Edelman to catch from him, though. Let's welcome in the one and only Mel Kiper Jr. Mel, top of the morning to you. And that's where I want to start, Mel, with New England. If they trade up and get Justin Fields, would that be the steal of the draft?
Could be, Molly. I think he's the second best quarterback in this draft, and we've seen the third quarterback, fourth, fifth, and sixth quarterbacks over the years turn out to be a lot better than some of the guys went ahead of them, and I think that'll be the case again with Justin Fields. If you can get him at 10, if he even drops a little further than that, which is a possible, I thought about maybe Denver at 9, New England at 15. Could they just sit there and wait for him to fall in their lap? I didn't think so, Molly. That's why I had New England jumping up to 10 to get Justin Fields in a division where now you have Tua, Zach Wilson, and the great Josh Allen. So all of a sudden now, you are a team has to close that gap or even things up in terms of your quarterback in a division you dominated with Tom Brady for 20 years.
Molly, step aside for a second here. I got to get at my man Mel Kiper Jr. I mean, what the hell? I mean, Mel Kiper Jr., my brother, what's going on with you? What do you mean? It could be the steal. Well, why wouldn't it be the steal of the draft if Justin Fields were to end up with the New England Patriots? Is there something else that could be a bigger steal than that, Mel Kiper?
There's more players in the draft than quarterbacks, Stephen A., so it could be one of the steals. But I'm with you. If he ends up being where I think he will go based on my rankings, but there are teams that have him as the fifth quarterback and disagree with me on that, Stephen A., so there's no consensus on Justin Fields being eventually a great quarterback in the NFL. I think he will be. But to answer your question, for me, yes, he would be a steal. For other teams, they would say, no, he's not a steal. He's going about where he should, or probably maybe even for some of those teams, maybe higher than he should.
Mel, educate me about this. Have you seen a situation where a guy ends the season and he's projected as a clear number 2, not a game has been played since, no turnovers, no interceptions, no nothing, and somehow, some way, he's fifth now? I mean, you got Trevor Lawrence ahead of him, which is always the case. Now Zach Wilson's ahead of him. Trey Lance arguably is ahead of him. Mac Jones is ahead of him. He's going from 2 to number 5. How do you explain that, Mel Kiper? How does that happen?
Yeah, it happened to me. I had Josh Allen going number 1 in the draft a few years ago, Stephen A., and he ended up being the third quarterback taken behind Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. Remember when Aaron Rodgers came out 2-3 weeks before that draft, he was the number 1 pick overall ahead of Alex Smith. And he dropped into the 20s. So this has happened before with this type of situation. And like I said, I think of Ben Roethlisberger. He was the third quarterback taken when the other two went really high. So there's been plenty of examples of this over the years. Normally, Stephen A., the quarterback that does fall 9 times, 8 times out of 10, it turns out to be really, really good. It makes teams pay for letting that quarterback slide down as far as they did.
What about this? I brought this up yesterday because I haven't seen – Mel, I'm not you. I'm a busy man. You're a busy man. But, damn it, you're the football guru. I got to cover all of these sports, okay, Mel Kiper Jr.? I didn't watch Zach Wilson that much. He is playing at BYU. And I'm just looking at the schedule with Mel, and I brought this up yesterday. Right. Navy, Troy, Louisiana Tech, Houston, Texas State, Western Kentucky, Boise State. There's a loss here to Coastal Carolina. There was a win over North Alabama. Not Alabama. North Alabama. I didn't know there was a North Alabama, Mel Kiper Jr. So my question
nice.
To you is, when do we take into account the level of competition somebody's going up against. I know Carson Wentz played in North Dakota State, and he was still taken number two overall, and we got Trey Lance that's going to be a top quarterback pick. But I'm looking at Zach Wilson. How much attention should we pay to the schedule he went up against?
I think you have to pay attention to it. Trey Lance played a 1AA schedule only, Stephen. He only had one game this year against Central Arkansas, and he was 15 or 30 throwing the football. So I'm with you on Justin Fields. I understand that the talent with Trey Lance and Zach Wilson, the way they spin it, their arm strength, their release, their accuracy is really good for Wilson. Lance has to improve his accuracy moving forward. But I get all that. Talent, undeniable. But it's the same thing for Justin Fields. Incredible talent. But somebody's going to have to slide, Stephen A. In every draft, so one of these quarterbacks, it gets scrutinized. How did Josh Allen become the third quarterback off the board that year when he's an elite quarterback right now? You know, how did Aaron Rodgers drop into the 20s? Well, some things are just unexplainable. They happen because it's the draft, and we don't know college to pro how these guys are going to do. It's all speculative, Stephen A., and opinions are all over the place.
Well, break down for me, Mac Jones suddenly is elevated to number three. Now, I remember because to me, it's Alabama all day, every day. Roll Tide. You know how I am. But I like Mac Jones. The flip side to it, though, you had people. I remember at one point, he was considered a middle to late first rounder. Now they talk about San Francisco loves him at number three. What is it about Mac Jones that we can look at and say, number three overall pick? Okay, that makes sense for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch in San Francisco. What is it about Mac Jones that we should be looking at, Mal?
He nailed the draft process, Stephen A. And by that, I mean the season, Senior Bowl week, pro day, interviews, everything about Mac Jones screams Kyle Shanahan. Accuracy throwing the football to the short, medium, deep levels. Does that exceptionally well. Incredibly cerebral, getting in and out of that huddle, communicating to the verbiage and the play to the rest of that offense. All those things, accuracy, being able to make throws in clutch situations. That's what cost the 49ers the Super Bowl, an inaccurate throw down the field against Kansas City. You look at Matt Schaub, look at Matt Ryan, look what he's been able to do, Kyle Shanahan with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now Mac Jones kind of fits what they need in a quarterback. And he does not make mistakes. And he, when there's somebody open, whether it's a third option, fourth option, fifth option, he finds that guy.
Let me transition to the wide receiver spot for a second here because I made Devontae Smith is something special. We saw what he did with the Tide, Roll Tide again. But you got this kid, Jamar Chase. I mean, at LSU, he sat out last year. Why is it that Chase would be taken ahead of him, particularly when you've got them pretty much potentially going back-to-back with a fifth and sixth pick in the draft? Why is it that he would be taken ahead of Devontae?
Well, I have Devontae number one. I've been consistent with that, Stephen A., but right now the consensus is that Jamar Chase is going to go ahead of Devontae. He did opt out. You mentioned that. He only had that one great year at LSU. Keep in mind, 2018, he didn't light it up. And Joe Burrow didn't light it up. It was 2019 where it all came together. You know, with the 84 catches and the 20-point-plus average and the 20 touchdowns. So for Jamar Chase, I think bigger, more physically imposing than Devontae Smith, the splendid splinter two. I'm with you. I've been consistent all along. I had Devontae number one. And again, where do I have Devontae? Going right behind Jamar Chase, not that far. Jalen Waddle is in this mix, Stephen A. Yes. Jalen Waddle could maybe go ahead of Devontae Smith. I'm not buying it
right
now, but it possibly could happen.
Wow. And by the way, with Cincinnati, you got Burrow as your quarterback. You know you need an offensive line because they stuck. That's part of the reason he got knocked out for the season, okay? But the flip side is you also need weapons to throw to, and he could end up having Chase or Smith. If you're the Cincinnati Bengals, what direction do you think they should go in? What direction do you think they will go in?
Toughest call of all the mock first round that I did in terms of making a decision there. I had Chase typed in the computer. I took him out and put Sewell. I was thinking Pitts, but then I had Pitts going early. Here's the thing, Stephen A. When you think about Jamar Chase, yes, he would look great in a Bengal uniform. No question about it. But you have Tyler Boyd and you have T. Higgins. First pick in the second round who had a really good rookie year. You can find – I have – 35 wide receivers with grades inside of 4.5 rounds. I have 14 going in the first two rounds. You can find receivers. You cannot find left tackles like Penei Sewell. And I like Jonah Williams, but is he more a right tackle? Riley Reiss on a one-year deal, the veteran playing right tackle. Sewell can play guard as a rookie and improve that line, as Ogden did as a rookie in Baltimore, play guard, not tackle. So for me, Sewell makes more sense because you got to keep Burrow coming off that injury healthy. He's not going to be necessarily even ready for training camp for a reason. He got hurt, a significant knee injury. I think that supersedes getting a target like Ja'Marr Chase.
I think it's fair to say if you need a receiver or a quarterback, this draft class, it's your year for sure. Mel, we'll continue to talk to you. We're just over 2 weeks away. Hard to believe.
I thought you had a question. I'm not finished with Mel. I got one more question for Mel right here.
I can go questions, too. I thought we were wrapping.
This kid, Sewell, is he going to have the same kind of impact as that monster that went to the Indianapolis Colts out of Notre Dame? Is he going to have that kind of impact?
Well, he's a left tackle. Now, he may play guard there the first year, and that obviously would be the right tackle or left tackle, depending upon what happens with Jonah Williams. So, yes, he will elevate that line dramatically. People say he's not Bocelli, Ogden, or Pace. He would have been had he played this year. The fact he only had that 1.5 great years at Oregon, and he didn't play this year, is the reason why people speculate on that and question that. I think he's going to have a hell of a career as a left tackle, and I think he would make a lot of sense for the Cincinnati Bengals at 5 over Ja'Marr Chase. So you couldn't go wrong either way, but I think keeping Burrow healthy and upright and having Higgins and Boyd and all that depth, Molly talked about all those great receivers, is the reason why I think you take Penei Sewell.
You see, we running out of time, so we got to go, because you know I got a whole bunch of more questions for you. I usually had these questions, but I'm interrupted by that guy, that other guy, Max, with the throat problem today. But I'll get back with you, Mel Kiper.
Hey,
I'll get back
with you. Come on the Mel Show Saturday. I'll give you an hour, Stephen.
There we go. I had some questions. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it, pal.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.